Yo.
Sexy glasses.
They're my real, I can't see unless I've got these on because I'm looking at you quite close. How are you?
Unreal. Just back from, medicina, plant medicine.
Oh, God. You know what? I was worried about that.
Because?
Well, I thought, you know, all the things I've been worried about with your health recently, and I thought, oh, my God, off he goes to another friggin' hippy-dippy, was it ayahuasca again? Yes. And there's been a couple of big, anyway, I was just a bit worried. So I'm very glad that you're okay.
The premise of this show, for me, is captured by John Updike, the US novelist, one of the few writers to win the Pulitzer Prize more than once. Do you know what John Updike said about sex?
No.
He said, sex is like money, only too much is enough. And for me, like, the mission of this show should be to help people, often otherwise very successful people, who have their cup runneth over in other areas of their life. You know, some of the business owners that I work with admit after a while, you know, when we built a certain level of relationship, they will admit that although things are going great in their business world, in their personal world, they never have sex. And
well, I think you're talking to one right now.
Well, in that case, the mission of this show is to get, are you Lucy? Is to get Lucy.
No, fuck that. Okay, I don't care.
Is to get my co-host laid.
Well, not even so much laid. I mean, if I wanted to get laid, I mean, that's the beauty of being a woman. I could get laid tonight. I could just go down to the local bar and get laid. That's not the problem. It's the meaningful stuff. And that's been my problem. So it's not even about, I'm not sure whether I'm one of your candidates really, because I've had an issue with actually opening myself up again after so long. I find that the real treacherous territory.
Intimacy.
Yes.
So yeah, that's.
I heard our beautiful friend, James English, talking about this in the last podcast with that posh bird, Victoria Harvey, I think her name is, Lady Victoria, who was dishing on Meghan Markle and all sorts of things. She's quite funny. But he summed it up and he just said, I really love his take on things, actually. I didn't know he was a Reiki master, and that sort of makes sense to me now as to how he's so easily able. He reminds me of you a bit, actually. I'm giving you a compliment now, Thor, in terms of him being able so well to read his guests and the way he's able to push the envelope with people. And apparently he's reading their aura and all sorts of things. So that made sense to me when I found that out. You know that he's rethought ayahuasca. Did you know that?
No, but hold on. We're going off at a tangent.
You know, I always go off on tangents. Anyway, he talked about how once you've been pierced by love, and I certainly was last time round, it's very hard to come back on track and trust again. So, and this isn't for the podcast, right? We're just having a preamble chat, right?
No, this is all potentially for the podcast. For me, a podcast should be real. So if there's something in this, that you later wish removed, you can say, and whoever's doing the edit, probably me in this case, we'll remove it. I had this idea. I wrote down before this call, I wrote down, what's the mission here? And I wrote, to help my business clients have more intimacy, because intimacy equals sex. So it's not actually like this podcast, Fucked at 50, although the title's a wee bit provocative. As you and I both know, we did a poll about it and found out 75-80% of respondents in a really well-engaged poll thought it was totally fine if it was appropriate. And it is appropriate. Because a lot of people are fucked at 50, as in they feel their life's over, they feel down, suicidal. And a big part of that is lack of intimacy for many people. I have a lot of conversations with people who are really down about their sex life. It's really dragging them down. And these are people who are otherwise really quite successful, you know, driving the nice car, living in the nice house, running the successful business, for example, or at senior level in businesses, people in their mid-40s, mid-50s, and yet that key part of their life just hardly even exists, in some cases doesn't exist at all. So yeah, although it's a slightly provocative title, for me it's not, yeah, it's not really about crass. Like you say, you could go out and get laid. It's not really about that. It's about intimacy.
Absolutely. And it's about, for me, it's about, I often say to my girlfriends that they say to me, oh, you know, come on, get back in the game, et cetera, et cetera. Well, they've given up now. They don't really talk to me so much about that anymore. But to me, I think that once you get in that groove as well of living a single life, that the thought of sharing my life with someone just seems absolutely absurd now. Like, I almost cringe at the thought. You know, I cringe at the thought of sharing my space, sharing my bed. And of course, then it doesn't make that much sense as well on another plane, because I'd be absolutely lying if I didn't have fantasy thoughts of, oh, just imagine, you know, the dog, the guy, the blah, the blah. I think I've talked to you about that, you know, at certain times, of rounding my life with a meaningful partner.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone wants that. I just think people are lying if they say they don't want that. But on a day-to-day level, I can't imagine returning from a day's work when I'm exhausted and going and having to factor someone else into it. Although when I think back to the last time I did that, that wasn't a chore. It was a joy.
Well, but if
you
easily
forget that. You can easily forget it.
Well, if I give you a different perspective, I was the person waiting for you, the lady, yesterday, and my lady came back from a day of nursing out in the community to find me with ingredients to prepare dinner for her. And then after that, watch some TV together, and after that, go to bed early, but go to sleep late, not to be crass. So the point is, maybe there's some annoyance about space. You know, maybe I've left coffee grinds in the coffee cafetiere and that might annoy her. Or maybe I forgot to empty the bin and it's overflowing. So maybe to some degree I'm annoying her in her space. But then doesn't that other side make up for it? Having someone there who's cooking for you?
No, what I'm actually saying is, when I was last in that situation, none of that annoyed me. Oh. It was heaven. But once you're out of it,
right,
so long, you completely forget about that, and you become, it's almost like a self-fulfilling prophecy of doom or something. The more that you, and it's almost like I've mentioned this to you before, I think, or maybe I put it in our notes, that the more sex you don't have, the more sex you don't need. It's bizarre. And then I've also known in the past that once I've got back on the horse, so to speak, you suddenly can't get enough.
Lucky like, you, Lucy. You got back on the horse, Sheila.
Oh, but you know what I mean? Once you open that tap again and become sexual,
mm-hmm.
It's amazing. But right now, I don't, because I've had so little sex, I don't think about it. I don't need it.
So that, I don't know, it's if fun. You're, right, I get it, but that, I'm not sure if that might not be a unique, I mean, everyone's situation is unique, but the people I'm often coming across are people who are in long-term relationships. So they've got all the little annoyances. They've got all the annoyances and the collision in the space of the house or whatever. So they're having to deal with that and navigate all that. So they're not getting the benefits of peace and alone time that you're getting. But along with it, they're also getting no sex. So they're getting the worst of those two worlds. Whereas at least you're getting the best of one of the worlds.
Sure. I'm also hearing another story quite, you know, not frequently, but a bit, of people in long-term relationships really quite happy that the tap is being dripped. you know, sexually, that they're both on the same plane, that they're feeling really happy about it, that they've got all those benefits of all those years together on the same plane. Obviously, never smooth sailing after all those years of a long-term relationship, but really reaping sort of the benefits of a fulfilling life together and on the same page in terms of sexuality being turned down, both of them. I know
I'm delighted for them. I'm 50 and I ain't at that stage. Like, I do have a really fulfilling, interesting relationship with my significant other. And sex is a big part of that. And
you're coming from that situation of coming out of a long-term marriage. And that's a real kind of, I remember that feeling of, you know, really hitting the go button. And it's so like, you know, I am alive again. it's like a rebirth.
Yeah.
I remember that feeling. So, yeah, and 50 is different to even 55, I think. But yeah. You're a fit guy too, which is in your favor.
So are these people you're speaking to who say they're happy with the tap flow being reduced, do they tend to be ladies or are they lots of men too saying that?
Well, I'm thinking about a couple in particular. It's the couple.
Yeah.
Heterosexual couple. I think I know a couple of them, and they're really happy. Both of them sort of saying that they both are tapering down at the same time, which is kind of working, which is interesting.
Yeah, well, that's cool. And what it sounds like is they have excellent, effective communication between the two of them. And to be honest, this is what I'm talking about. When I talk about lack of intimacy, it's typically from a communication breakdown of some kind or a whole load of probably small communication breakdowns over time that become, yeah, just like the Cold War, basically. They become, and those people listening to our target audience will remember the Cold War, so you know what I mean. If there's a 20-year-old listening, go Google it, then you'll get it.
Well, all the 20-year-olds are protesting on the university campuses, aren't they?
Well, good for them. Indulging in some free speech rights. I'm fully supportive of that. However, hopefully they're still having sex too and they're not living in an entirely digital world.
They're not having nearly as much sex as we did at their age, that's for sure, apparently.
Where do you get that information from?
Well, I've heard that. There must be some surveys going around, I would imagine. Mm-hmm.
We need to get an expert in to talk about this, about are people still having sex? Because part of the promise of this show is us just talking openly about the topic. And part of the idea, as far as I understand it, is for us to get interesting, amusing, hopefully amusing experts in. So who might we bring in? I'd like to bring in one of my tantra ladies, but maybe we could get someone more scientific if they've got a sense of humor.
Well, I'd love to do that as well. I think we need to get some a sex therapist or two. I think we need to get someone, a psychologist or two, that we like or that we think is, you know, can actually spout some figures to us that are reliable.
I'm going to LinkedIn to see who I know who's a sex therapist because I've got a phenomenal LinkedIn network. Let's see if I have one. Sex therapist. Yeah.
I'd also love to, I know that we want to cover, because I know that I've got friends who are like 10 years younger than me and really coming into that perimenopause for the females anyway, sort of time of life. And I'd love to talk to some, you know, medical people in that area to talk about HRT or not HRT. There's just so much talk around that area. What can you do sort of in the natural remedies area as well, and how that affects your sex life as well. Because for some people, it's an absolute disaster. And for other people, they sail right through it. It's awesome. No worries.
So I can't help but call you Lucy now, Caroline. Sorry. I've got three in my network, and this is great because one of them runs the Airbnb. And might have heard me having sex because we thought she was out when we came into the Airbnb and we were not shy.
I love it.
Later we realized she was in. Oh.
Oh, that's so funny.
So she's called Wilma and she runs an Airbnb up in Shetland, and she would be hilarious to get on the show.
Oh, let's do that.
But I've also got, though, I wonder if this is a contact of yours as well, Dr. Anastasia Fronis, a clinical psychologist, founder of AI, HW lecturer and addiction researcher, concert pianist, Sydney, New South Wales. So I think she's an amazing guest as well. She wrote a publication, COVID-19 and the Impact on Gambling, Sex and Pornography Use and Addictions. I mean, she sounds fascinating.
Oh, yes. Well, that's one of the topics that we definitely want to go into is pornography. Definitely. And AI pornography. Have you been reading about that?
Oh, my God. Well, just before we move on, permission to contact Dr. Anastasia and Wilma then and get both of them lined up, yes?
Permission granted.
Thank you. I do like to ask my ladies for permission. One must assume consent.
Let's call it consent, yes.
By the way, I'm not mocking that. I actually think that's air dinkum, as you are.
Oh, God, I hope you're not asking your lady, am I allowed to call her and her name on air?
Probably best, I'd rather, until I cleared that with her, okay, I would use her name.
I hope you don't have to ask her consent every time. That's a bit over the top. Oh, thank God.
No, I don't mean that. I just mean the concept of consent feels like that's important. And like there's some areas of the woke revolution that I actually think are fair enough. Like, of course, they've gone over the score, way over the score. But there are some things, you know, it's pretty cool not living in a society where people say P-A-K-I, you know, with aplomb. Like there's some sensible, we got to talk
like. And a man isn't clubbing a chick over the head and throwing over his shoulder and saying, you're with me. You know,
unless she wants that, unless she's read 50 Shades of Grey and she thinks that's her thing.
And they've been going out together for 6 months. That's all good.
Anyway, okay, so what were we saying? So I'm going to get in contact with those two sex therapist ladies because both of them would make, I think, amazing guests by the look of it. And then what were you saying? Okay, sorry.
I think we were giving a bit of a broad overview of where we're going to be going in this podcast series. So we're going down those avenues. We're also going to be going down the avenue of the dreaded online dating world.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Heaven for you has always been hell for me, which would be quite interesting. I think we're also going to maybe traverse how we're going to get me a boyfriend one day, and that's going to be quite fun. We're also going to talk about testosterone supplementation and have a look at that and maybe get an expert in on that at some point. We've got, you know, a long time ahead of us to talk about these sorts of things. We're going to talk about, and this can be brought up with the sex expert, how to keep things spicy in the sack, particularly in long-term relationships. Do we go into the areas of toys, positions, tantric, et cetera? So that can come up with your, is that the Shetland lady?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah. We're going to talk about things like fuck buddies. Is that something that is on people's agendas? And do they work? Is there such a thing as a fuck buddy? Oh, let's not forget the menopause. The manopause.
Oh, I'm glad that you're acknowledging that there is a manopause.
I was about to announce to the listener that this is a Thor construct. Please discuss. We'll open that up for discussion at some point. Yes, and the fuck buddy. We'll try and tease that apart and work out whether that kind of works or whether it doesn't work.
And when is it appropriate to have an affair, if ever?
Oh, yes, and open relationships.
Mm-hmm. There's sure to be a whole load of self-proclaimed experts about open relationships. What's it called? Ethical non-monogamy, I believe they call it these days. So there's going to be a whole load of that. But by the way, just for clarity, I wouldn't have said that my online dating experience was heaven. I mean, it was great because
It had a heavenly outcome,
as in I met someone who I'm super connected to, who's an amazing human being. However, there were plenty of, you know, poor fits, and I'm not blaming any of the lady's concern, 100% not. Like, but it's just, it's such a, although it's super clever algorithms, it's also a really rough, it's a rough tool. And there is a huge element of it being a numbers game. It does remind me of business development, you know, or sales, where there's a huge element of numbers and you have to be willing to take a huge element of rejection, same as with sales, which is painful. And not everyone's set up for that. And they're often in quite a vulnerable position when they're, you know, out of their previous relationship. Relationships end for all kinds of reasons, including extremely unpleasant reasons. So these are people who naturally then are in vulnerable positions psychologically. And then they're having to deal with massive amounts of rejection. And I don't know, I do think it's also those apps are set up against men to some degree as well. Only the very top percentile of men in terms of looks and, you know, photography ability, because that's partly where looks come in, let's face it. Look, photography ability, status in life, you know, does your mechanic who's kind of rough and ready looking, does he, what kind of experience does he have on a dating app? I mean, so I'd like, it'd be great to get a dating app, a genuine expert in to talk about that, because it's a huge part of how sex happens these days. I mean, massive. It's got to be the majority of people.
Yeah, sadly, it is. And of course, we'd love the listener to get involved as well. We'll get that happening at some point.
How will they get involved? We're not offering them sex, so how do they get involved?
Well, they can always, get involved with me at some point.
Bloody hell. Hold on. That was a bit risky. You've just dropped in that you're open to offers from all the listeners. When this thing goes super viral, Lucy, we better start calling you Lucy when you've just said that. Hell's bells.
I'm just joking. No, they can get involved. Probably would LinkedIn be the best way, do you think? Or no, maybe we need to set up a Instagram potentially.
I think we'll end up with an Instagram, and I also think we'll end up with some kind of really simple website for this one, actually, because I sort of envisage is that toward, like, I'm assuming at the moment this will just be a series, but if it carries on, great. But if the way I'm thinking about it is, it would be good to get some useful information, ideas, concepts into some document form, I don't know, a simple one-page PDF or something, that might then sit on a website of some kind. So I'll be responsible for setting that up as and when, but yeah, so we don't have it yet, but I would like there to be some form of web presence that sits there and is a useful resource.
A bit like your brilliant growth presenter.
Yeah, that kind of, I mean, that's not to be, I'll be brutally honest, that's something where people can go and check me out and see some testimonials and think, might I want to work with Thor to achieve that kind of outcome? I would want to do a bit more than that with this. That's like a landing page. So yeah, that kind of format, but something where they could actually download something useful as well, is what I would say. But
yeah, I like it.
Can you play that guitar behind you? Or is it just good?
I just sold my electric guitar and amp because I'm moving out and I'm doing a massive downsize. And
well, answer so the I question. Have... Whoa. Answer the question. You can play that guitar, can't you?
But I don't even know if it's in tune.
Well, let's hear it. I don't care if it's in tune. You're gonna take me right back to my hippie weekend where we had loads of musicians playing to us as we drifted away into ayahuasca Pachamama land. So just play me some hippie tunes. What have you got? A bit of Bob Dylan or something?
No, I really don't even know. I don't even know a song off by heart anymore at the moment. Seriously, I'm that out of practice. I'm just playing random chords.
I just love the sound of acoustic guitar. Takes me back to my hippie roots, my dad playing the guitar and the bongos.
Such a gorgeous hippie. But one day I really will. I'll practice something. I'll even sing something, I promise. I will.
Nice. Right. I'm going to need to wrap up in a minute. So any parting thoughts?
No, that's it, really. I think all I covered a lot of the topics, the places that we're going to go. We're also going to go into areas because of the age group that we're obviously in the 50s, we're going to talk about things like Botox, fillers, Ozempic, that sort of stuff for the females. We're going to go into the gay territory as well. So, there's a lot that we want to...
Oh, hold on. I got an amazing idea for a for the gay area, Andy West, who's a mate of mine and a successful author. Andy has got a great Instagram and has been doing some really cool videos about gay history recently. So I'll invite Andy on. I'm pretty sure he'll be up for that. He was the first gay kiss on Big Brother in the UK or the first gay marriage proposal? I can't remember now, but he's a legend. He's such a lovely guy. So I'll invite Andy on.
And I've got a dear, dear friend who's fantastic value, who I could approach as well. So, yep, we've got plenty. There isn't a shortage of topics for us to cover, that's for sure.
Nice one. Okay, lady. Okay, nice. Lucy.
No, I'm Caroline.
We're probably not going to use this video, to be honest, but it would be great to have some of the show's video because then on Spotify, I mean, I quite enjoy sometimes watching the videos on Spotify, and you've got to wear those glasses. They are just epic.
I like them.
I've got glasses envy, and I had laser surgery in Sydney back in 2003 because I was so keen to get rid of my glasses, and those are just amazing.
Oh, wow. So, hey, your eye looks like it's okay. What's the story there?
Ayahuasca fixed it.
I did it?
Nah, I don't know. It was already pretty much recovered, although I did start getting some flashing lights after night one at the ayahuasca. I think I overdid the dancing, the hippie dancing.
Are you feeling, you're feeling good?
Yeah, I'm feeling amazing. I'm landed.
Oh, good on you, mate. That's so good. That is great.
Lady. Looking forward to the next one. I'll get in contact with those couple of sex therapists and Andy. If you want to contact your people, let's just start getting things in the calendar. This kind of time of day is pretty good for me, but I don't think it will be for guests. So we are going to have to negotiate around times, bearing. Like, what are the times that work for you in Australia that...
Weekends are always best for me, but I know that you're always, you know, you're looping around in Lady Love Land, aren't you?
She's a nurse. She often works at the weekend. So that's
okay.
Blocker. It's more like for guests. It could be tricky for some guests, but now we'll work it out. Okay. Let's not have this logistics chat on the show. Later, Lucy.
Okay. Talk to you soon. Bye, Thor.
Bye.
Yeah.